have a sad story to tell you. It may hurt your feelings a bit. Last night when I walked into my bathroom, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream.
And joining me, of course, is our friend. He's a psychotherapist, licensed clinical social worker, author of When Kids Call the Shots, How to Seize Control from Your Darling Bully and Enjoy Being a Parent Again, Sean Grover. Sean, good to talk to you today. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Ethan. I'm going to do my best not to curse during this segment.
And please do not. Otherwise, we have to, like, you know, do little things to deal with that. Because the FCC doesn't let you to swear. But we have kids who hear these words, and sometimes it gets used. And I'm curious, because I know your article is about teenagers swearing and should parents allow them to curse at home. I think this is a complicated topic. I really do. I don't think it's clear cut. I don't think it's a yes, no. I think that there's a lot of analysis that goes into this, Sean.
Absolutely. It depends on the age of your kids. I think the simplest way, I think if we're looking at middle school or elementary school, I would have to say absolutely no cursing. You know, small children aren't able to distinguish what's appropriate in one situation and not. And I can remember when one of my daughters was 4 years old, and she was having an ice cream cone. And at that time, I was working with a lot of teenagers, and I was cursing all the time. And she, in front of all these people, she says, "Papa, it's so sticky. It's so sticky. God damn it." And it starts cursing. I was horrified. My wife had warned me that if I was cursing, they were going to start to do it. And I thought, no, they're too young. No, they're not really listening. No, no, no. And wow, did I learn my lesson.
Oh, they don't just listen. They imitate. So you're going to swear, they're going to swear.
Exactly right.
And they also understand the intonation is a different. I mean, so that's the key, is they recognize that there's something going on with that word. It's not just that you used a word, it's how you use it, and they get the context of it as well.
That's right, because words have power, and they don't know that at that age. And really, for me, the underlying issue is, you know, there are far more creative ways of expressing frustration than going right into cursing, which is why generally lawyers don't curse or debate teams don't curse. We really have to challenge ourselves to use language in a much more creative way. And the cursing is a bad habit that if it gets introduced early, it's very hard to undo. It's much easier to prevent such a bad habit than to undo it later.
Psychotherapist, he's a family and parenting specialist. Sean Grover, of course, is joining me on the phone right now. But Sean, what about this though? So like when my kids, that first, you know, mine are 6 and 10, when that first kind of comes up, you know, there's a conversation to be had about it though. I mean, because
absolutely,
I don't like to make words forbidden, but I like to help explain why we have certain attitudes about the words. And there, you know, there is a time and a place, and it just happens to not be right now, and particularly not at school where you use that. I mean, so there's kind of a complexity to it. It's not just a, you never say this because now it's taboo, which means they're going to use it, just not in your presence.
That's right. Well, there's different kinds of cursing that I like to distinguish between two major groups. There's cursing out of frustration, because maybe you hurt yourself or you forgot your keys at home or you left your cell phone somewhere. And that cursing in general is just out of frustration, not toward anyone. And then there's cursing at people in a degrading way.
Right.
So with children, one family I work with came up with this game when the kids were in middle school heading to high school that they could curse, but they only had so many curses to spend. And it could only be in these frustrating situations, never degrading a sibling or a parent. And it became this very playful game where they allowed the kids to express the frustration and use the curse when they really needed it, and they didn't forbid it, which is, you're right, it will incite defiance, and kids will find a way to curse when you're not listening.
Sean Grover is joining me on the phone. He's author of the book, When Kids Call the Shots, How to Seize Control from Your Darling Bully and Enjoy Being a Parent Again. Excuse me. We're talking about swearing with our kids. And there's kind of a third scenario that I know has come up in my house, which is kind of the art world, right? So whether you're talking about music, popular music, whether it's movies, something else, and then to kind of explain that context, especially the artistic expression where swear words come into play, that's a whole nother world of maybe you're not ready to do that, but that this is why that artist chose to do it.
That's right. And helping the children understand language and the uses of language. I remember working in an elementary school, and some young girl was in the lunchroom singing a rap song, or rapping a rap song, I guess, out loud. And, of course, it was just laced with just the worst of the worst. And the sky came down on her, and she was taken away to the counselor's office. But it was very clear when I sat down with her, she didn't know what she was saying.
Right.
She was just imitating. She had, so rather than just punishing her, we had to really help her to understand how, what words, when, and what's appropriate when, and so forth. But that's our job as adults, to help make sense for children. And cursing just recklessly and allowing it is really going to handicap them later in life, but that's something they really slip back into.
Yeah, developmentally. I mean, it is. It's like a handicap. You have no better vocabulary to express yourself other than a swear word. So figure out a better way to do it.
That's right. It's kind of like the face tattoo of language, you know. It could really hamper you depending on where you are.
The face tattoo. I love that. That's hilarious. It's a great way to explain it. Sean Grover is joining me on the phone. You know, we've talked many times on this show, Sean. I always appreciate it. But one of the things I want to go back to this, because it's such a basic principle for as much as we're talking about kids and cursing. And I love the idea of the bank, by the way, and saying, hey, you get so many and we get to, you know, consume out of that. I think that's really a smart way to approach it. In everything that you've ever said to me on this show, though, it always comes back to this. We as adults, as parents, and it sounds simple, but it's not in our busy lives. We have to take the time to sit down, to listen to our children, communicate with them, and talk through issues. It seems like the easiest thing in the world when you just talk about it on the radio or whatever. And it's also a really hard thing to do, though, often in our busy lives and when emotions are involved at home.
That's right. The parents are the models, and we have to model. And I'm very impressed that you picked that up out of all these interviews. But ultimately, it comes down to what we're modeling, what we're teaching, what we're demonstrating. What is the culture of communication in my family? What do I want my children to go out into the world? What foundation for that? And that's something you can't really talk through to a child. You've got to demonstrate it. How you talk to your partner. How are you affectionate, not affectionate? How do you express frustration when you're angry with each other? Do you attack each other? Do you blame each other? With the children, if you're mad at the children, do you engage in shaming and criticizing? These are things we tend not to think about, and we're just on automatic pilot. And so as children get older and incorporate those ways of communicating, we'll start to have those problems coming towards us now because the imprints are there. So what you're saying is exactly true. When I work with families, I really am asking parents to up their game in terms of their conscious decisions, and they're the management team of this family. And what management strategies are they engaging in that are bringing about negative outcomes? And then we have a dialogue. Then we have empowerment. Then no one's really to blame. We're all in this together. We're learning together. And the child feels much safer in a family like that.
And that empowers us as parents to have a better relationship when those teenage peer pressure situations come up, because they trust us better, too, at those times. It's always great, Steph. I love your book. I love having you on the show. Psychotherapist, a licensed clinical social worker. But the book, again, is When Kids Call the Shots. Sean Grover, it is great to talk to you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Ethan. Take care.
Yeah, you too. Really appreciate it. I won't swear at you, Sean. We're not going to do any swearing right now.
Each time I say, darling, I love you, she tells me that I'm full of shaving cream. Be nice and clean. Shave every day and you'll always look keen.